Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, QST. Calling all radio amateurs. This is KF4TEK, activating the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. This net is held every Sunday at 8 p.m. local time on the 147.165 MHz W4VA repeater in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for technical discussion and Q&A regarding technical topics such as equipment, hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar information relating to the radio arts. If anyone has a technical topic or question that they would like to bring to the net this evening, please call now.
K2PI.
K2PI, go ahead, please.
I'd like to canvass the builders among us of best practices and absolutely necessary tools for building. I've done a little bit, but I'm always interested in hearing what other people are doing and how they're organizing parts, etc. So I'm about to put together a kit. I'll mention it later on in the net, and I thought it would be a good topic to hear from others about. Back to net, K2PI.
All right, that sounds great, Harv. Building what? Electronic kits?
Basic electronic kits. Obviously, we don't need to talk about building receivers and amplifiers, but, you know, what you need for electronic building tools, what are good accessories to have, et cetera.
All right. Excellent topic. Thank you very much for bringing it. Does anyone else have any questions or topics that they would like to discuss this evening? So please call now.
This is Kilo Quebec 4, Charlie Victor Foxtrot.
All right. Kilo Quebec 4, Charlie Victor Foxtrot. Go ahead.
I just got my license, and I'm in the process of putting my radio in my mobile, and took my antenna analyzer out there and found out that the magnetic antenna mount, magnetic mount antenna that I had purchased has an SWR of over 3. So I was wondering if there's anybody out there that could give me some suggestions as to an acceptable replacement.
Okay, KQ4CVF, mobile antenna, mobile magnet antenna has high SWR, so we can definitely talk about that. All right, let's make a call for announcements or news. Anyone have any news or announcements that they want to share with the net? Please call now.
Foxtrot Romeo.
All right, I heard K3FR and a double. Can a station that is not K3FR please come again?
And 7IBB.
All right, very good. Ron, K3FR, go ahead with your news or announcement.
Okay, very good. Thank you for holding that timely. This is K3FR. I'm actually putting this announcement out on behalf of Old Virginia Hams. They annually support the Willing Warriors Center during the Willing Warriors cycle ride that's held in September. The date this year is the 10th of September. It's a Saturday. It actually happens to be also the beginning day of the VHF contest. I could talk about that a little bit later because I have been supporting for the last couple of years. Anyway, the Willing Warriors expanded their cycle routes this year and added another route, so we need to come up with some additional operators to stand guard, or I shouldn't say stand guard, but to stand at checkpoints and route points along the way and report some status of cyclists coming through and also help clear any traffic if there's issues. Contact me after the net if you're interested in supporting, and I can send you a email that gives details and contact points and et cetera. 4TEK, K3FR.
All right, K3FR, thank you very much for that announcement. N7IVV, go ahead.
Evening, Mike. Two things, one of which is not directly ham radio related, but I'm not that anybody doesn't know this, but Artemis 1 launch tomorrow morning, 8:29, I think, is when it's supposed to start the two-hour window, so get up early enough to catch the live feeds from NASA if you're into rockets. Second thing is just a plug for the Cold War Museum annual activity that we're running a special event station for. That'll be October 1st and 2nd. If you are not already on the contact list for people who are interested in helping or operating or providing any support whatsoever for that, which, of course, we still do need, John, AK4GG is our coordinator for that, so if you could contact him via email or on the air or whatever, that would be appreciated. Back to you at 7IVB.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Brad. Okay. Let us take a round of check-ins, and then we will discuss our topics. We have two topics this evening. Thank you very much to K2PI and KQ4CVF. Kit building, necessary tools, and mobile mag mount antenna high SWR issues. If you have a mobile mag mount antenna, which one is it? And what kind of luck have you had with it? And if you've had a mag mount antenna with a high SWR, what turned out to be the cause? Were you able to troubleshoot it and or fix it? That's what we've got. So this is KF4TEK for the Far East Sunday Night Technical Service Net, and we'll take a round of check-ins. Please call now.
This is K1HTB.
BD8QCM.
W4RKU.
2PI.
KY4OP. Mobile.
This is KM4MOS. In and out.
Kilo Mike 4, Oscar Zulu Hotel.
Kilo Oscar 4, Whiskey Yankee X-ray, no comments.
KN4, SPL, no comment.
KJ7, APV.
KO4, VNZ, no comment.
KS1, PPY.
W8BT.
N2NAR, no comment.
Kilo November 4, Golf November Mike, no comment.
N4SJL, no comment.
All right, let's hold that. Picked up a good crew. We got K1HTV, WD8QCN, W4RKU, KY4LP, KM4MOX, maybe, KM4OZH, KO4WYX, KN4SPL, KJ7APV, KO4VNZ, KS1PPY, W8BT, N2NAR, KN4GNM, N4SJL. Anybody whose call sign I messed up or didn't call, please call now.
Kilo Yankee 4, Oscar Papa.
KO4NMC, no comments.
KO4, Quebec Victor Bravo.
All right. It's a lot easier to type new calls into this software than to correct them. Got KY4OP, thank you for the correction. And we picked up KO4NMC and KO4QVB. All right, good crew. Topics this evening include necessary tools for building kits, electronics kits, and mobile installations. KQ4CVF had a mag mount antenna with an SWR over 3, so that's not good. So I guess I will throw in my 2 cents, and then we'll spin it around and let everybody throw in his or her 2 cents as well. So I love building me some kits, and the stuff that I usually have on my bench, because I keep getting them out again, and it's easier just not put them away. Obviously, a reasonable soldering iron. It doesn't have to be a temperature-controlled soldering iron, but it is important that the soldering iron have the correct size tip for the work you're doing. If you're doing work with through-hole components and relatively larger through-hole components and jacks and plugs and sockets and things like that, then you're going to want a nice meaty tip on that. But if
you've got a kit with a lot of fine components, or if you're doing surface mount kits, and you really do want a much smaller tip on your iron. And if you're doing some of that smaller work, you may want a little bit of you may want a separate liquid flux pen, and you want a very fine rosin core solder for electronics. A little goes a long way. I like to have an optivisor on me nowadays because my eyes aren't as good as they used to be. I've tried the Chinese knockoffs and they're just not as good. And I got an optivisor from Amazon, and who knows, it might be a clone as well, but it looks a lot better than what I picked up from Micro Center. It wasn't an optivisor. A pair of diagonal flush cutters. So I call them nippy cutters. They're not diagonal cutters because one edge is ground flat, so you can get right up on the board to trim the leaves off of things very nicely. You might want a pair of wire cutters or insulation strippers as well if you're going to be doing a lot of wiring. I've got an old pair from Radio Shack with just a screw and a nut to set the stop. So you don't cut through the center, and it works well enough that I never bothered to replace it. Something else that's handy is something to hold the board while you solder it. I've got a couple of different work holding vices here, and none of them were particularly expensive. They range from the very common two alligator clips on a steel rod that you see at every ham fest to a little pair of sliding jaws, and some people even go in for the Panavice. It has larger board holding jaws for working with larger boards, and a little more expensive. I don't have one, but every time I see one, I think I want it. You may want a small fan for solder fume extraction, or just to at least blow it away. I find that an old computer fan or old 12-volt fan out of anything will provide enough of a breeze to keep the stuff out of my face. And you really need a reasonable DVM, a digital voltmeter, a digital multimeter, just to double-check the values of the components and to do simple troubleshooting once you get the board together, continuity tests, check resistances, make sure you're reading those little tiny stripes correctly on the resistors. Most modern DVMs have a little capacitance meter on them too, so that you can tell the difference between some of those tiny little ceramic capacitors, if they're 10 puffs or 1 puff, or those very small capacitors that we see in our output filters or other radio-related circuits. So that's what comes immediately to mind. I'm sure other people have their favorite tools that I have missed, which is great because it gives everybody a chance to jump in on the conversation. I've never had a Magman antenna with a high SWR. I currently run a Comet trunk lip mount. I've been running this lip mount for many years, and it's been relatively fine. I don't think it has a short length of relatively thin coax to feed in through the gaskets and nooks and crannies, and then it fattens out into a longer run of like RG8 size cable. I think it's made by Comet, because Comet or Diamond, and they both work fine. And it goes into a SO239 mount that I just screw a simple dual band whip into. It's got the coil in the center, and it does the job. So that's my 2 cents on those topics. This is KO4TEK for the Forest Sunday Night Technical Service Net. Throw us your inputs on those two topics and let us know what sort of technical stuff you've been up to lately. We'll spin it around. I will put K2PI and KQ4, I just clicked something and went all kaplooey. K2 K2PI and KT4CVF up front so they can expand on their questions if so desired. So let's go with K2PI. How you doing?
Why don't you put me at the end? I don't want to expand my everything you mentioned, Mike. I think the Optivizer brand was not known to me. I have another off-brand, so I was taking a look at those. But I'd love to hear what other people have to say. And at the end, I'll just comment on what others have commented on, and I'll have an opportunity to talk about some of the tools I have over here. Back to that K2PI.
Okay, very good. Let's try KQ4CVF. How are you doing tonight? KQ4CVF, Kilo Quebec 4, Charlie Victor Foxtrot, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, you can just talk over that. Do you have anything that you'd like to add in terms of your question, or would you like to wait to the bottom of the list?
I looked it up, and it's a Nagoya UT-72.
Okay, so you're saying that's the antenna that you have now?
Correct.
All right, well, we will come visit you again at the bottom of the list and see if you have any responses to anything that anyone is able to add on that. So I'll go ahead and throw out your call, and we'll come back to you at the end of the list.
KQ4CVF, back to net.
All right. Ron, K3FR, go ahead. How are you doing tonight?
Okay, very good. Good evening, Mike, and all of that. This is K3FR. Well, let's see. For building kits, the last time I had kits that I built, I think I needed 100-watt soldering irons for assembly. But just a couple of things. Something to help organize and keep your parts arranged on your work surface, or at least out of the way when you don't need them as well. Egg cartons, except for, the things that you do need to watch out for are your electrostatic sensitive devices, ICs, and some capacitors, particularly the very low voltage types, don't take very easily to some of the styrofoam objects and items on your desk. A grounding strap, particularly when you're handling active devices. You can get this at the Micro Center. Very, very helpful in avoiding destroying some devices with electrostatics. And make sure your work surface is grounded too. And usually that's going to be through about a 1 meg resistor or so to minimize the current during discharge. Farther down the load, you mentioned a good meter, multimeter. Absolutely, I'll go 100% along on that. As far as the antenna, I will suggest one of the first things that I would do would be to unscrew the antenna from the mount and try checking the continuity down the cable to the mount and back, both at both ends, and also by going from end to mount. First from connectors to mount. Make sure you don't have any opens. Make sure you don't have any shorts or high conductivity paths in your mount. Try the same thing with your antenna. There should be probably a little inductor in there across the mount points. So that's what I would check first, and then. If everything seems to be okay, loosen up the nut on the end of the compression fitting, the nut on the end of the mount, and just try tuning it. Shorten it, lengthen it, start with going for about an inch or so, 2 inches, depending upon the band, and see which way the SWR goes. Mag mount's usually not too much of a problem. only issue might be a little bit of insulation between the mag mount and the car body. Okay, let's see. That said, I guess the topic this week is also going to be the Digi contest. I didn't put in a faithful full effort today or this weekend. Just thought I'd experiment with QRP. So I limited my output to 5 watts and got on and put about 7 hours in. Ended up with 28 QSOs, 55 points, 18 multipliers for a score of 990. And I did have some fun on doing it. KM4TEK, K3FR.
All right, fine business, Ron. Thank you for all that. Good point call. All right, moving right along. N7IVV.
Good evening again, N7IVV. As far as kit building, everything that's been mentioned is more than sufficient. But as far as holding boards and pieces of wire and basically general things, pretty much everybody has one of those little alligator clip holders that have got a little tiny, well, they're not an anvil, but a weighted base. But I've come to hate those things over the years. And a few years back, two or three years back, ran across, and I know Rich has one he can attest to its usefulness. I think they're called an octopus, but I don't remember if that's really it, but it looks like one. They have either 6 or 8 goosenecky kind of arms that have alligator clips on the ends in a nice heavy base, and you can then flex those. Oh, each arm is maybe 8 inches long, 8-10 inches long, and you can flex those up and around and hang on to just about anything at any angle. You can hold a circuit board very, very steadily, and you can put a lot of pressure on it should you need to, and it won't fall over, and mine's clear across the room and not easy to get to right at the moment because I haven't used it. Otherwise, I'd give you the name and brand name, but Rich may be able to tell you. Excellent, excellent tool, well worth, it's not even that expensive, and super, super glad I got one here a couple years ago because I was doing a lot more kit building and repair on stuff and whatnot. It was just night and day as far as how well it worked compared to those other little clips. Dabbling with packet this last week with various degrees of success, a lot of problems with loose nut on the keyboard, but also just the setup. Many of you saw my posting up on the groups.io. Mostly what I was trying to do with that question is simply find out what people were using as far as a dedicated system to run the packet. I don't particularly want to set up a digipeater, but I also don't want to use my IC9100 as my packet station because I use it for too many other things. And so I was just wondering what, single 2-meter rigs people were using, and it kind of runs across the board. There's really nothing around that you can use that you don't have to jury-rig some sort of a PTT connection through a COM port and whatnot, so I got some good ideas on that. And last but not least, just a reminder, and I don't want anybody to feel embarrassed or anything, but for the new hams that are out there, when you get on a repeater and identify yourself, it is actually, believe it or not, bad practice, or at least it is on this repeater and with this club president, to say this is and then unkey and pause and then come back and say your call. That, especially in the case of high volume repeater usage and whatnot, slows things down and makes them more confusing. It's just the best to not unkey between what you're saying. And a lot of people seem to think, I know that there's one repeater and one net in the area that tends to be teaching people to do that, and I think it's the only net in the entire country that you'll ever find that does that, and it just is not good practice. So key up, say this is, and just put your call immediately in. This is KV4XYZ, and be done with it. And if you double with somebody, that's okay. Come back and do it again, and you'll find that things go a lot smoother. Back to you, KF4TEK and 7IVB.
All right, thank you very much, Brad. This is KF4TEK for the Forest Sunday Night Technical Service Net, and we'll move right on to K1HTV. Rich, how are you doing tonight?
Mike in the net. This is K1HTV. Thanks, Mike, for doing the net again. Yet again. Did a great job. So let's see, where do we go? Regarding the kit building, yeah, the I'm not sure what they call it. I have a four-legged octopus, I'll call it that, with clips on the end. They're about 8 or 9, 10 inches long. They're four of them. You can bend them in any position. I think I like them, and when you put them on a work table, you can get the what you're working on much closer to your eyes without having to bend all the way over down to see what you have to see on a table. This is great to hold almost any kind of a board or whatever you're working on. So I'd, but again, I don't have the name either. another thing you might want to buy, have nearby, for once you get everything built, you need a power supply of some sort occasionally. So a variable power supply, which will put out like from 5 to 12 volts or so, and is handy to have for testing purposes with alligator clips or power poles or whatever. I use power poles. I use from the power poles. I use the small alligator clips to clip onto the power pole and clip onto circuitry for testing. All the rest of the things people have already mentioned so far, I do have a set of optical assisted glasses, which has they have drop-in lenses for various magnification factors. So if you're working on something that really have to get in tight, you drop in the next size that gets really gets you down to the atom. So you can see an atom, not quite that good, but. Let's see, any other tools or things? Yeah, I was going to say containers, small containers for holding the parts from falling around and getting lost. Anyway, back to the antenna now, the antenna. First of all, I'm looking at a picture of the UT-72. It's a very thin, very small coil at the base. It looks like it's about maybe 4 inches long. Then it looks like if there's a screw on the top where the metal whip itself goes into, if it can be, you might be able to loosen that screw and either raise it or lower it, as Ron mentioned. First thing I would do, put the SWR bridge back on it and try to find out, is it too short or too long? Is the antenna too long? If it is, it'll be resonant below the band or at the bottom end of the band. If the antenna is too short, the best SWR will be very high in the band. You may be able to adjust the length if there's a little set screw which you can remove and either raise or lower that coil. Now, if it's always long and you push it all the way down, it's still resonant too low. You may have to take a bit off. I would take it off the end because usually a lot of those are tapered. You don't want to take it off the bottom. This particular one I'm looking at, it looks like it's a continuous same diameter of the whip from top to bottom. So find out where in the band it resonates and then cut the length accordingly. That's for 2 meters. Here goes that digital noise again. By the way, that is digital noise from a distant station transmitting one of the digital modes, and the noise is big enough to trigger our PL tone. The frequencies are happen to be in that range, so it'll key the tone, key the PL, and bring the carrier up, so that's not good. All right, anyway, that's about as far as the antenna. Over the weekend, Mark and I, K4SO, went down to K4GVH's place. Mark had replaced the battery, memory battery. We brought it, got it all working, programmed memories, brought it back down, and it didn't work on transmit. It turned out one of the little tiny push cables came out of its socket, I believe, and I took the radio apart, he took it apart, put everything back together in again, and now K4GVH is now functional on the HF bands, so he's a happy camper. Contest, I did not go to the breakfast on Saturday. It was started the Worldwide Digi Contest, started at 8 a.m., ended at 8 a.m. Sunday. I operated continuously from 8 a.m. till about 5:30 when I had to start getting ready for church, so my contest ended about 2.5 hours from the actual end of the contest. I made a total of Let's see, how many contacts did I make? 680 contacts, 142 mults, 227,000 plus points. So it was a fun contest. We had some interesting propagation from 1:30 in the morning to about 5. 20 meters is open for all that time to the Pacific. Worked maybe 18 BK stations in Australia. It's K1HTV. Long report. Propagation was excellent, at least to Australia. Conditions over the poles were terrible for a while. We had a mag storm or something was going on. Just could not hear what I would expect to hear. Then at the very end, the band opened up towards Japan. I worked some JAs on 40. Today, a big surprise, the solar flux, which was at 124, mysteriously jumped up to 252, the SFI 252. Either the guy who typed in the report for NOAA typed it in wrong, or the solar flux was measured while there was an eruption, and that could give some false readings. So solar flux right now is 252, very high. That's about it from here. This is K1HTV, back to net control.
All right, Rich, thank you very much for all that. Excellent report, and thanks for your contributions. All right, WDATCN, how are you doing? Go ahead.
4T, Cam and Net, WDATCN, evening, Mike, and thanks again for picking up the net. Let's see, as far as soldering goes, I'm using a paste desoldering station that has a temperature-controlled iron with changeable tips and also has a vacuum pump-type desoldering handle as well. So that takes care of everything. Both are independently temperature controlled. Picked that up on eBay years ago, and it was very similar to one I used professionally back in the 80s when I worked at Unisys, so now you know how old I am. Let's see, on the antenna issue, that's a Nagoya product, if I recall, and there are a lot of counterfeits out there. I bought a couple of the screw-on, you know, handheld antennas, the big rubber ducks, and they were Chinese knockoffs, and they have a flat SWR of about 3 to 4 across every frequency from DC to daylight, so basically there's a resistor in there. So, I would say sweep it out. If it's a legit Nagoya product, you'd measure things out like someone suggested, you know, see if you get continuity all the way through. A lot of times mag mounts break at the base of the antenna or at the coax where it screws into your radio, the connector, check the connector, and other than that, you might have one of those counterfeit antennas. How are you measuring the SWR? Are you measuring it with like a bird watt meter, or are you using like a vector network analyzer or an antenna analyzer of some type? Those would be my questions back to you. Back to you, Mike. KF4TEK in the net, WD8QCN.
All right, great. Thank you for that. Good question, Steve. Make a note, Mark. Moving on to W4RKU. Kevin, how are you doing tonight?
KF4TEK, W4RKU in the net. Good evening, Mike. Thanks for doing the net tonight. Regarding tips and hints, this is just one little thing that I do, but I kind of, this is something I did over the years. What I do, and this is with through the whole part primarily, on a PC board, is I just take a little bit of that blue painter's tape once I get the component lined up and I keep it flush to the board. Used to plug it, you know, push them in, you know, push the resistor in, say, and pull the legs apart to hold it. But if you really want it to look neat, I just use a little square, pop it on there, and then stick it on there, and then that way, especially with my shaky hands, before they were as shaky as now, you didn't actually accidentally, while you were soldering it, pop the part out. So, that's just something I've been doing, or I did, for a number of years. That's the only real trick tip. And that may be just for me. Other than that, played a little bit with the contest yesterday, but I've been
trying to figure out some stuff with SASTIR on the Pi. It's the semi-equivalent to APRIMC on Windows, but this is for Linux. A lot of it's old, and I'm just trying to sort it through so I can, you know, because frankly I can receive better up at my remote station. And, that was the other thing. I went up Friday to fix the antenna and realized I may have pushed my channel master router a little too much because that's fried. I guess that got fried out with the storms. So I need to go this weekend and replace my router. Which is okay. That's just kind of a bummer. That's all I have. K4DK34. Okay, you back to net.
Oh, Kevin, sorry to hear about the rotor, and a good tip on the blue tape. Thanks for joining us. All right, this is KF4TEK for the Far East Sunday Night Technical Services Net, and we're up to KY4OP. How are you doing tonight?
This is KY4OP Mobile. Doing just fine. Returning from doing a soda activation up on Stony Man. Getting over a cold, so sorry for the miscommunication on the call sign there, calling in. But anyway, did a soda activation yesterday and today. Stony Man today and yesterday, Hawksville. So checking out some different soda locations in preparation for the 4-H Club doing a soda activity next month. So once we set times and summit and all of that for it, I'll probably put that out on the reflector so people can be listening and chasing when the kids go up and do that. On the two topics for tonight, I don't really have anything on the electronics. The furthest I've gotten has been doing through-hole soldering, and all that really requires is just the basic soldering iron and basic tools that I have. On the question of the mag mount, the two points that I'll echo from that were brought up were the fact that Nagoya is a company that unfortunately routinely faces counterfeits, especially on Amazon Marketplace. So yeah, do check and see and if you're actually seeing any type of resonance for the antenna. If it's resonant on something near 2 meters, you may be able to adjust it, I think, as was suggested. If it has that SWR and is not showing any signs of resonance, it's probably one of those counterfeits. But the other thing to check, and I had this problem with a small mag mount similar to that one, but by a different company, is the feed point connection for it, either in shipping or during the installation process. If you end up crimping that or messing that up, you can end up with a short in the coax. And so I had high SWR on one of my antennas, ended up having to take apart the base and re-solder that connection, and then SWR returns to the values that it should be acceptable for. So check those two things and see, and hopefully you'll find that it's just something that you can adjust or repair and not that it's something you have to swap back out. With that, this is KY4OP, back to net control.
All right, fine business. Thanks very much. Good points, Nick, and have a safe drive back. KM4MOX was no comment, so we're up to Gil, KM4OZH. How are you doing tonight?
KM4TEK, this is KM4OZH. Well, good evening, Mike, and everybody on the net. And Mike, you listed the vast list of special tools for not only kit building, for just general electronics assembly. And I'm looking at my bench, and I said, well, I don't have any of that fancy stuff. I got three soldering irons, three different sides, but, you know, they're just plain soldering irons. But I got to get myself some little fancy tools there. That's all there is to it. So I get off of that subject. And let's talk about high SWR on a mobile mag mount. A bunch of things have been mentioned, and all is true. One thing would be is your location on your vehicle. If you're trying to get down to get it really tuned in is to make sure that the panel that it's stuck to is a grounded bonded panel. And obviously the center of the roof is the ideal spot for that. So location. Next thing is the antenna new or used? Used, there could be the potential for so many problems there. And whether the coax goes in through a door jam and is crimped that there, those are some potential possibilities. And obviously is trying to adjust the length for resonance. And the only mobile antenna I ever bought in my life was a brand new K1, and it would never tune. And after I got familiar with antennas, mobile antennas, I finally took it apart, and the capacitor in it had a disc capacitor, I think it was like 37 PF. One end wasn't even hooked up. So 4 years after buying it, and it being in the scrap heap because it wouldn't ever tune, I fixed it, and then it was fine. So there's just so many things. So, but yes, I would definitely, I timed myself out. I would definitely be checking the coax with the antenna disconnected. That would be one of the first things that I would do. And let's see, so what am I doing right now? I got 150 feet of rotator cable here that I'm putting new ends on for my neighbor's tower project. So it's all fun. KM4OZH, back to net.
All right, Gil, thanks for that. Yeah, you do awesome homemade stuff. And I guess, you know, essential is really in the eye of the beholder. Very good. Thanks for joining us, and hope to hear from you again soon. All right, we had a couple more no comments, so I think we're up to Becca, KJ7APD. How are you doing tonight?
K4TEK and the net, this is KJ7APD. Doing good. I love the topic. Brought me right back in my memory to my dad. He built a lot of heat kits, and that's where I got my love of amateur radio. I think he was doing mostly shortwave, but I remember how excited he was to build an oscilloscope, and he and I played with that for a long time, looking at all the fancy designs. And sometimes, if I was lucky, my dad would invite me in right after he got a kit through the mail and let me go over the parts list. And so I got to learn about all the little names of the transistors, the resistors, the capacitors, and all that. So my dad was very enthused about building these kits. He made us a TV special to watch the moon landing, and he made an organ for us to take lessons on, so it was pretty cool. So you might know that my dad was a rocket fuel scientist. I can tell you about that in person later, maybe in the 50s. I think that's about it. Just enjoying my power supply that I bought recently from Renogy. Very slowly moving towards getting my mobile station set up. So I guess that's about it. Back to you, my KJ7APD.
All right, fine. This is Becca. Thanks for joining us. And thoughts are ephemeral. Okay. This is KF4TEK for the FARA Sunday Night Technical Service Net. We're up to Sippy KS1PPY. How are you doing tonight?
KF4TEK in the net. Doing pretty good. Thank you so much for picking up the net tonight. I was oddly surprised for some reason. I had it in my head that I was doing it, so it was good to have you pick it up before I had a chance, because I had nothing, and you got some good topics going. For toolkit type stuff, I do like every suggestion I've heard so far. Oddly enough, I was looking up that little wire holder thing, and it looks like most of the websites that I see having them says third hand soldering assistant. I only have the one with the little magnifying glass on top and two little arms, but looking at this octopus thing, I may have to change that out at any point. But that is definitely one of the ones I would suggest. And the only other thing I can add to the list of stuff that I keep around on the bench are various jeweler screws and small tweezer type
grabbers, either, you know, an actual pair of tweezers or little vice grip kind of things to grab onto small parts to get them out of the way or hold them for a second to do stuff, and, you know, jeweler screws for taking various things apart, and an assortment of very small zip ties or multicolored sets of electrical tape. Those help a lot of times if I'm cutting a bunch of wires off and they're all black, and I want to remember where each things were all, you know, cut from. Sometimes a little, you know, a couple different colored zip ties or a different colored set of electrical tape to give me kind of a temporary label for remembering where each wire went to. I found to be part of my kit, just a little thing there on the side. And magnetic bowls for parts to go into that kind of hold it in place. If I knock it around and spill it, the magnets hold all the stuff in there. On the magnetic car mount, the main thing I can think of was, like the previous commenter was, you know, break it all down, test it out, you know, piece by piece, check the wiring going inside, making sure it doesn't have any shorts. I think they say that the most common high WS or high SWR problem in magnetic mounts is a short to ground somewhere or not proper grounding, and that includes like Gil said, where it's placed on the car. You want a nice big space, you know, for it to connect to that provides a good enough ground plane that is in fact grounded and bonded itself, so that it acts the right way. I had to go through my Prius and add all kinds of ground straps for the doors and different panels just to keep the noise quiet and keep everything grounded the way it was. And I actually eventually moved away from magnet mounts and went to the lip mounts because of that same kind of problem. The lip mounts were a lot easier to ground and connect to where it needed to be, and I could put it in a better place. So those are the only inputs I have for those two topics. As far as what I've been doing is just honestly been working, just nonstop. I feel like I don't have time for much of anything else. I still trying to get my antennas back up after the storm from before. I think I got most everything wired back together, and I've got a spare off-center fed dipole if anybody is looking for one. And I think I may have to actually be selling one of the two 7300s that I have, because I don't have a way to keep up with so many antennas in so many locations. So, but I do finally have an inverted L that I have not been able to test out. Hopefully I'll get time this week on work from home to actually play radio a little bit while I'm working, and just see whether or not the antenna is still good. All the trees down in the area sort of took everything out. That's all I got. Thank you again, Mike, and I'll turn it back. KS1PPY, back to net. Okay, Sibby. Well, I'm sorry to take the net away from you. I had it in my head. I had the third and fourth Sundays, and I have to be honest, I hadn't checked the calendar. So the topics weren't me, man. The net participants brought it all. So that's all due to Harv and Mark. So I can take no credit for that. I was just going to read something out of the ARRL antenna book about direction finding antennas, but this is much better. So thanks for doing all you do, and have a safe drive home. All right, Travis, W8BT, how are you doing?
Hey, good evening, Mike and all of the net. This is W8BT. Sippy stole my comment there. The one thing I hadn't heard anyone mention was a good pair of tweezers for working with board stuff. And I also use, I have some old ice cube trays that I use for putting components in. And I did want to mention, I hadn't heard Kevin's suggestion before of using masking tape or whatever to hold components in place, but that did bring me up one thing as far as holding components flat to the board. I do know that if you're mounting an inductor to a board, you do not want it to be flat against the board. You actually want it to be raised up off the board. And a friend of mine gave me some they've got magnets on one end and little sharp points that will fit through the holes on the corners of boards for holding them in place if you have a piece of steel to mount everything to. Well, I was going to drop the repeater drop for a second, but I guess I won't. As far as the mag mounting antenna, I have used both of my vehicles have Hustler 5/8 wave antennas on them. The one actually has a Hustler 5/8 wave mag mount. The other one uses just a CB mount bolted to the side of my toolbox. But anyway, I say I've had really good luck with them. They're very tunable, and but like I think everybody else has pretty much mentioned anything else there. Okay, and I did not work the Digi contest this weekend, but I did work some Ohio and Kansas stations during the QSO parties, and I had a really, really one of those once-in-a-lifetime things come up. I was trying to work K8RYU Rover in Ohio, and at the exact same time that I called him, W8 Tango Bravo also called him, and he came back to him. And I was about ready to correct him, but I heard W8TB come back to him, and he was in, Medina County, Ohio. So anyway, W8TB and W8BT called W8RYU Rover at the exact same time. I came back to him after he worked W8TB, and he was going to make a correction, and I said, no. This was like a once-in-a-lifetime thing here, so I think he got it all straightened out, and Jeff, W8TB, actually sent me an email within a couple minutes just saying how funny that was that we both called at the exact same time. But anyway, that's about it for me, W8BT, back to net.
Oh, that is a funny story. Very cool that happened. All right, thanks for joining us, Travis, and hope to catch you again soon. All right, this is KF4TEK for the Far Center 9 Technical Services Net. We got two more, KO4NMC. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great, thanks. Appreciate it. This is KO4NMC. I didn't really have a comment tonight. Appreciate I was going to be in and out, but now that I said that, I was going to say on the antenna, it looks like for those DeGoya antennas, you probably can't get it wrong in terms of the different kinds of SMA connectors you can get, the female and the male, but worth checking anyway, because sometimes I've had at least one situation where it made it but was not making an actual connection in there, so worth trying. I suspect if it wasn't making a connection, you'd have trouble getting things, not just SWR, but check it out, because some of these are a little bit flaky, especially the ones I've gotten from Amazon. Most of the things you mentioned for tools that you'd have at your desk, they're all what I keep around. Some of the things that the tweezers and little things that make your life a little bit easier when you're trying to get at something are helpful little picks, dental tools, some things like that. In addition to, I usually keep Scotch tape around for taping. I don't use the masking tape. I use a little bit of Scotch tape to kind of hold components in right before they get soldered, and then that's on the back side in through hole, and then the other thing that I would add, something good to clean off the soldering tip. A lot of the cleaning rigs that come with it just don't do as well as something you can get fairly inexpensively that will make your life on and the soldering iron a lot happier. And then I usually keep a little breadboard around for checking out the circuitry and what I'm building just in general. Other than that, everything else you mentioned here was good. I appreciate the conversation. And I'll turn it back, KO4NMC, back to Matt.
All right, very good, Alan. Thanks for those contributions, and good to hear you. All right, KO4QVB, how are you doing tonight? All right, we're looking for Kilo Oscar 4, Quebec, Victor Bravo. You still out there? All right, maybe not. Okay, we're going to go back to our questioners. We'll pick up first Harv, K2PI. How are you doing tonight?
F4TEK in the net from K2PI. And, well, first off, thanks to everybody for all those suggestions. I'm going to address those in a moment. But I did want to mention, the reason I asked is I ordered QDX, QRP Labs QDX, for my daughter, KQ4BCM. Michelle and I are going to put that together as one of her first rigs, and it's a neat little kit, and looks like it's going to be fun to build, but always wanted to hear what other people are doing and when they're building kits. I've got a fair amount of stuff over here, but I wanted to hear some tips, and I heard some things I had never heard before, so I'll address those in a moment. I wanted to also talk about the KQ4 with the antenna that's got an SWR. Well, first off, a 3.0 SWR is not awful. I know it, we just tend to think that we want everything 1.1, but it's 75% of your power is getting out, and at the worst,